Now let us turn to the Epistle to the Philippians and chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and reading from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In God's providence, we cross the threshold of the new year today and find ourselves at the point where it is the first day of the week, but also the first Lord's Day of 2017. And that new year is in front of us like a clean blank page of a new diary. And at this time, it is good to reflect upon where we are, not only in relation to the calendar, but where we are spiritually. 1 year more of life lived means 1 year less of life to live. And we are now 12 months nearer death, eternity, the judgment. If you are unsaved, it means another year has gone by of God's patience and your defiance, and you are still unprepared to meet God, still unprepared to die, still unprepared for eternity. Still your heart is unbelieving and wedded to this world. Still you are under God's condemnation and are going to hell, and you are missing salvation, the greatest gift that God could give you. If we are saved, we will want to take stock, and we will do two things. We will look back and look forward. And if we do these two things wisely, it can lead to a new year of spiritual blessing. And I want us to try to do this today with the help of one verse from our reading, Philippians 3 and verse 13. Because Paul does this kind of thing in his words here. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark and so on. And here Paul makes a resolution. And it's a good resolution. The second part of verse 12, I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. It means that he seeks to become everything that Christ has saved him in order to be, that he might lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of him. You remember back in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6 when the Lord met with him at his conversion and he was on the ground before the Lord, greatly humbled, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now that's evidence, isn't it, of the beginning of a changed heart. Before his heart was against the Lord, hating him and his people, persecuting the church, blaspheming the name of Christ. And now he's subdued and meek, totally the other way. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's what happens at every real conversion. We have a new heart, we're changed. And our relationship to the Lord is transformed. And instead of being against him, now we're for him. Instead of being at enmity with him like an enemy, we're now a friend, his friend, and we love him. Instead of going the broad way that leads to destruction, we're on the narrow way that leads to life, and the whole of life is given up to him. What wilt thou have me to do? And here now, this is that for which Christ has apprehended Paul. And if we're Christians, that's what Christ has got hold of us for and made us his own for, that he might make us all that he wants us to become as Christians. And it leads ultimately, of course, to what he says in verse 14, pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, speaking about the ultimate, the going to heaven, the resurrection of the body. He speaks about the resurrection in verse 21, the last verse of the chapter, and he's already mentioned it in verse 11, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So he's going right into the future and speaking about the last and the ultimate. And that's important because, as well as being concerned about how we are now, what also is important, if perhaps not most important, is how we end. Because it's one thing to start and profess to be a Christian, and it's another thing to carry on for some time. But it's only he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And the great concern is that we make it to the end. And that's no small mercy when so many professing Christians of good standing for so long have fallen away and are no more. But if we, by God's grace, are kept by the power of God and enabled to hold on our way by persevering grace, the resurrection of the dead, the glory of heaven that is to come, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But you see, verse 13, Paul acknowledges he's not there yet. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, in order that it might be so, and that I make it to the end, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, you see, having a right New Year resolution by the grace of God, things that are behind that have got to be left in the past, and things that are in front of us that we must grasp and know them in the future. in order that we might have the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, heaven, the resurrection, the glory. Well, let us then look at Paul's resolve and let's seek to make it our own and let's see what this will mean for us. And the first thing is, verse 13 is our text. Leave the past, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, why is Paul so determined to do this? Because if we don't, they can stay with us, they can hold us back, they can so discourage us that we don't move forward and reach forth to those things that are ahead of us. We've got to draw a line under certain things in order to move on. Leave the past. And it's a good point to be at today when we can think of some things that are best left behind and forgotten. Now, of course, we must qualify this because there are certain things that we must never, ever forget. The Apostle Paul never forgot certain things. For instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he harks back to his past there. But of course, it was in a certain way, wasn't it? Who was before, he says of himself, a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant and so on. He could never forget what a sinner he had been. But more than that, what grace God had given him to save him and make him a trophy of that grace. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6, Paul didn't forget either what comfort the Lord gave him when Titus arrived with good news about the situation in the church of Corinth. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and so on. Never forget what we've been, but more than that, never forget what grace God has lavished upon us. And never forget the comforts that he's given you at times when you needed it most. Don't forget these things. 2 Timothy 1, verse 16, he never forgot the mercy that Onesiphorus showed him when he was in prison. And he prays that the Lord will reward Onesiphorus for that. It's important to remember a lot of things that are right and necessary. In Deuteronomy, the Israelites are exhorted to remember all the way the Lord our God has led us these 40 years. And Samuel raised his Ebenezer and said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lots of things to keep in memory, of course. And we should have a keen, retentive memory. Never forget to be thankful to God for things. Never forget to appreciate the kindness of others for things. But he means other things. Best left behind. Leave the past. What might these things be? And what for us? Well, dear friends, our sins and failures during this last year. 2016 has been punctuated by these sins of omission, the things we should have done that we did not do, sins of commission, things we should not have done that we did do, filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, sins against the Lord, sins against others, bad mistakes, foolishness, wasted opportunities, distractedness by trivial things, wasted time. The devil can blow any of these right up out of all proportion and hold us back and cripple us with a felt sense of our deep unworthiness. And how can God love me anymore? And how can God forgive me yet again? And how can God give me any future at all? Forgetting those things which are behind. True enough, these are the things of which we are rightly ashamed. But remember this, Isaiah 38, verse 17. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. My dear friend, God, in forgiving your sins, cast them behind his back. They're behind him. No longer visible to him and don't exist as far as he's concerned. And he shows you the light of his countenance and the assurance of his forgiveness and his free favor. And when you forget those things that are behind, you're doing simply what God has done with your sins. Don't get bogged down with any one of them. And don't let them prey upon your conscience and affect you so that you are hindered and you are discouraged and you are depressed. If you do not see this clearly, that God has cast all your sins behind his back and is toward you as a pardoning God, you are denying the gospel. And who would want to do that? The fact of the matter is, our sins are gone if they are repented of and confessed, and God has forgiven them. You can go into the new year free and clean and pure and holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the promises of the gospel. God draws a line under them. You can move on past sins and failures. If the devil brings them to remembrance, tell him that God has forgotten them. If the devil accuses you concerning any one of them, you send him to Jesus Christ, your advocate, who answers for you at the right hand of God. If you feel discouraged personally, look at the cross again and see your sins laid on Jesus and borne away by his atonement and the promise and assurance of God in the gospel that your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Forgetting those things which are behind. Leave the past. And then secondly, our hurts and our grudges. We remember things done against us, don't we? So keenly. Much better than we remember the kindnesses and the kind things done. And it is terribly possible to harbour a disgruntled, bitter spirit, resentful, unforgiving. Hebrews 12 and verse 15 speaks of a root of bitterness springing up. And they trouble you. It troubles you, and many are defiled. Such a spirit can spread and harm the fellowship of Christ's church. If you are harbouring something that's rankling in your spirit against another person, pray God for repentance and forgiveness. Because you see, no matter how just a cause you might think you have to feel that resentfulness and vengeance, Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How can you withhold forgiveness from another when God has lavished such gracious, undeserved forgiveness upon you? How can you feel bitter and negative and hateful toward anyone else when God envelops you in his love and in his loving kindness and tender mercy? Forgetting those things which are behind. Someone might say, but it's an unresolved matter. Well then, dear friend, go to the person and raise it with them and deal with it, that it might not be there any longer. And don't take your hurt and grudge into 2017 and perpetuate it. Forgetting those things which are behind. It's a blessed thing to have a heart that is at rest and full of love, even though it reminds us of what we have heard, criticisms made, bad treatment received. What of it? What of it when the Lord treats us the way he does? And we should seek to treat others in that same way. Forgetting those things which are behind. Some people never move on, you know. They're always eaten up with a bad spirit. Can never get any progress. Always thinking about it. Always nursing it. It's always there. And they're crabbed and bitter and negative and hard in their spirit. Come to the cross of Calvary and get your spirit bathed in Calvary love and get it melted and sweetened and put the thing right at the foot of the cross. Our hurts and grudges. Thirdly, leaving the past, our inability to forgive ourselves. Some people struggle with this. They find it so hard to forgive themselves over something they've done. It's something that is not so common, but some people have this difficulty. God has forgiven my sin. I know it, but I can't forgive myself. I can't be reconciled to myself for what I've done. I'll never forgive myself. So bad. Well, dear friends, that's a perverse way of punishing yourself. If God has forgiven you, surely you must forgive yourself. C.S. Lewis once said, "I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than him." What a thing, isn't it? I can't forgive myself. God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. Then you're making yourself higher than God as a judge. What a wonderful truth. We can forgive ourselves. Those brothers of Joseph could hardly forgive themselves for what they did. And right to the end, they fell at his feet and begged his mercy. And Joseph said, "Stand up. Am I God? Of course I've forgiven you. It's all in the past. Forgive yourselves, brethren." And our heavenly Joseph is God and forgives like a God and would have us be reconciled to ourselves as well and be comforted in the knowledge that all is well. Forgetting those things which are behind. Some people can never make any progress. I've been so bad. I've done such terrible things. I'll never be able to live with myself ever again. Is this all the gospel gives to us? Is this how it would leave us? Oh, the grace of God is such that it fills our hearts and enables us to see ourselves in a different way. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And we sing his praise and are free. Forgiveness at every level. Leave the past behind. Fourthly, past disappointments. Now, Paul had his fair share of these. In Acts chapter 13, John Mark let him down badly and returned to Jerusalem from that first missionary journey when he and Barnabas needed him so much. In Acts 15, relationship with Barnabas broke because Barnabas would have John Mark come again on the next missionary journey. Paul, as a matter of principle, said that he's not ready yet. He has to prove himself before they'll take him with him. And so they had to separate and go their different ways. That was a great disappointment regarding Barnabas, such a dear, close friend. And what about the Corinthians? How the Corinthians had been so unkind to him, ungrateful to their apostle and pastor, criticizing him, attacking him, spreading false rumors about him. And the more he loved them, the less he was loved. What disappointment. In Philippians 2, verse 20, he says, all men seek their own instead of the things that are Christ Jesus. I can't rely on anyone I know except Timothy. Everyone is so selfish and uncommitted to the cause of the gospel. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Fellow laborer, in high standing and regard, and he deserted Paul when he was in prison toward the end of his life. Past disappointments. What are your disappointments this past year? The people have let you down. Things that have not come about. Answers to prayer that you've not yet seen. Blessings that you're still waiting for. It's possible to be so affected by these that you can even become almost cynical and sarcastic. Oh, it'll never happen. Oh, nothing will ever come of this. God will never hear my prayers. Oh, it's always, everything goes wrong. Nothing ever goes right. My dear friend, leave it all behind. For all you know, God is preparing you great blessing this new year. And for every disappointment which has been his appointment, the time is going to come soon when that thing will happen and you'll be delighted and you'll see with your own eyes what hath God wrought for you. Those many prayers that you've had no answer to, it could be that a cloud the size of a man's hand is going to appear on the horizon of your life this year, which will grow and be a showers of blessing to you, and the prayer will be answered. That thing that you long to see happen, it could be that God even now is preparing you for it and it for you. He's the God of hope. And he's the one who would not have you be held back by these things. Hope in God and look to him for the best and be optimistic. The glass is not half empty, the glass is half full. And God can fill it to overflowing for you this 2017. Past disappointments, leave them behind. And don't think that they're going to continue into the new year and be always there. And then one further. Any spiritual declension. Fifthly. Ah, those times last year when we fear we may have slipped back, when we have grown lukewarm spiritually, when we have been negligent and careless. The story is told of a little boy who had a Christian dad. And someone asked the little boy, is your daddy a Christian? And the little boy said, yes, but he's not been working at it much lately. And sadly, as to the zeal and diligence and discipleship and faithfulness that the Lord is so worthy of, we can sometimes not work much at it lately. Lost ground, if we're honest. In verse 13 there, this one thing I do, and you notice that this is in italics, and I do are in italics, to show that they're supplied words by the translators to make it read more smoothly. But literally, Paul says, one thing. One thing. And you see, when religion ceases to be one thing for us, the one thing, then things are not like they ought to be. What is the greatest and most important thing in your life? If you were asked that question, sometimes people are, aren't they? Ask such a question. What is the great thing? What's your instinctive answer? A Christian will say, the Lord. But you see, it's more than just the profession. It's to live a life that shows that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are added unto you. One thing. This one thing. Someone has said these helpful words. Spiritual progress is not necessarily doing new things, but doing the same things much better. And you see, the cure of any spiritual declension is not to take up new things, try other things, different things that might give me the fix that I need. That's not biblical. It's often simply the same things that we've always done, but do them more prayerfully and depending on the Lord more. Do them more with a single eye to his glory. Do them in his strength. And do them with the whole heart. And there is the blessing. The one thing. Your quiet time. The Lord's day. How has that been spent? Attendance and commitment to Christ's church. If every church member was like me, what kind of a church would we have? There's a thought, isn't it? If every church member was as regular as I am to the Lord's Day services, to the Thursday Bible studies and other meetings, how many would be found present? Worldly compromise, oh, so dangerous, isn't it? This present evil world with its blandishments and its attractions and its seductions. The media pumping out the message that the great life is to live as if there is no God, and pleasure is the be-all and end-all of life, and that I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul. That's the great message that comes, isn't it? And Christians who know that that's not true yet can sometimes take things on board a little. Take those things on board a little. Don't you feel? I feel it sometimes. I feel something coming over my spirit sometimes. I've got to be so careful. Pray against it. No, that's not a Christian spirit. That's the spirit of the world. It's so subtle. You see, if you watch over your heart enough and examine yourself and are very careful, you'll realize how dangerous and how deadly it is. Little sins. One sure sign of spiritual growth, dear friends, is when the things that we allowed as little sins in our lives, we begin to see as not little sins at all. And we deal with them. Obedience to the Lord in matters. Oh, the blessings of obedience. The loss of disobedience. Any spiritual declension, forgetting those things which are behind, put them in the past, leave them and move on. That's the past. Let's look now, as we close, at the future. Grasp the future, reaching forth unto those things which are before. the picture is of the Grecian Games, the early Olympic Games, and a race that is run. And the runner, each runner partaking in that track event, has got one goal in view, the tape at the end of the race. And so he strains forward as he's running with all his might and exerting himself to the very full. And all the preparation and all the training and all the peak of fitness is expended in this great concern to look ahead, forward, press toward the mark, breast the tape at the end of the race. And the thing is, if he turns round, even for the briefest instant, he's going to slow down. And so he doesn't do it. If he's sensible, he doesn't even look either side at those he's competing against. He just has one goal in view, and eagle-eyed, he's there for the finish. And that's the thing, isn't it? To reach forth unto those things which are before and ahead. Like the Apostle Paul, Acts 20, verse 24. None of these things move me, so that I might finish my course with joy. Dear friends, how wonderful that there is a future. That God gives a future to us. That we needn't be stuck in the past. We are apprehended of Christ Jesus. He holds on to us. He keeps us. And he enables us to go forward. And he who has begun a good work in us, chapter 1 verse 6 of Philippians, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He calls you to go forward. He's the God of new beginnings. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And dear friends, we're not on our own. You might say, yes, well, it's not easy to leave everything behind. It's not easy to reach ahead and grasp what's in the future of this new year. But dear friends, look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where Paul bids us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's simply another way of saying grow as a Christian and do everything that you're called to do. Be everything you're called to become. But look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that a wonderful promise? You see, we're not left on our own. Every duty is accompanied by this precious truth that the God who calls us is the God who enables. And that which he requires, he gives. He's working in you. If you're a real Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And he is the medium of union with Christ, working in you. And look, both to will, the very desire is given, and to do, the enabling to follow it through, is given. That's the genius of real religion, you see. It's not rules and regulations that you've got to somehow find strength to accomplish by yourself, which is an impossible thing. When you're born again, you've got Christ in you, working in you, inclining you, enabling you. And in everything which is the will of God, say, Lord, increase my desire. Lord, strengthen and enable me. And that which thou dost command, wilt thou work in me, that I might perform. He doesn't leave you on your own. He doesn't expect what is impossible. It's grace, all the way. Grace to leave the past and grace to grasp the future. Grace perhaps to make a new start, even today. I like those three commanded things in the Psalms. Let me share them with you as we conclude. If God commands things for his people, it means that they will be ours because they're authoritatively given. Psalm 42, verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Every new day you can walk with God, his loving kindness is yours. Psalm 68, verse 28. The Lord will command our strength. Strength commanded, given us. Psalm 133 and verse 3. There the Lord commanded the blessing. Commanded loving kindness. Commanded strength. Commanded blessing. The devil can't stop it. Our own wretched hearts can't fail to receive it when God speaks and God bestows. May the Lord enable us then graciously to leave the past behind, grasp the future that begins even today, and may he be greatly glorified in our lives with blessing upon blessing. Amen. Let us